Last night we talked about the four cups at Passover. I want to talk about it a little bit more. So let's go to Exodus 6. Doing the back and forth stuff with Pharaoh here. So in chapter 6 verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I Yahweh is what it says in Hebrew. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Yahweh, or it's got Jehovah here, but it shouldn't have, was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept to keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore I say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. And I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, of the Egyptians. I will rid you of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Now, remember, God kept hardening Pharaoh's heart. And Pharaoh would say, I'll let you go, and let them go, and then God would cause him to change his mind. It had to go, this back and forth had to go to tell everything about Pharaoh was dead. And I believe, and we've talked about it for years, that Pharaoh looks a lot like Gary or Jeff. And the burdens that the Egyptians, the world has laid on us is our mind. And he has promised to bring us out. Well, the four cups, the first one is I'll bring you out. I will deliver you from bondage. That's first and second. The third is I will redeem you. And fourth is I will take you to me for a people. Now that's exactly the same thing that happens if we can understand it and see it in ourselves. The burdens that we have come only from our mind. So he has to bring us out of that. And Pharaoh will keep resisting, and everything will happen. But then at baptism, Pharaoh dies. Well, that's the parable. That's an actual happen, but it's the parable for us. It's what we look at to see the meaning of baptism. We are the Pharaoh. The burdens came from our mind and from the world system. In baptism, the Pharaoh dies and we brought us out. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody understand that?
Yeah. It's appropriate that we do the cold nidre on at the time that Christ was baptized, we bury those burdens.
Right. Well, we bury them. We do it all the time, but.
Yeah.
So in each cycle of the feast year, it starts with, well, the cycle really starts with Hanukkah, but from the standpoint of the later part of it, it starts with Esther. And the word God's not mentioned at all. And so we see that God has always been working in our lives, even if we didn't believe in Him, even if we didn't have any understanding of Him. And then exactly 30 days later is Passover. And the Passover is the bringing us out. It isn't salvation. And releasing us from the bondage isn't salvation. Salvation happens when He redeems. So we are loosed from the bondage by repentance. It's still an act that again, should have been taken care of at baptism when Pharaoh died. Then it doesn't have to take us 40 years, because now once Pharaoh is gone, the burdens are gone, then it's directly from Passover directly to the marriage supper, because you should have been rid of all the grave clothes of religion. Remember how the Egyptians loved their religion, but they loved it to be clean and orderly. They were all like Harry. Everything had to be clean and orderly and proportional. Like me. Shut up. I wasn't going to admit that this morning. No, I did too. But I think I've taken up Harry's mantle is what happened. Because I wasn't this bad before, because he was taking care of it, so I didn't recognize him. But anyway, my point is this. Let's let this be the true Passover, when Pharaoh truly dies. When you stop using this evil one for any reason. For any purpose.
Makes me think of the cup Jesus took. He said, "Let this cup pass from me."
Yeah, but that was not these cups.
I know that.
Yeah.
But it's like that cup He took upon Himself, but took it to the grave. And that's...
Right. That's why Son of Man, He died. Son of Man, we died.
Right.
Now only Christ lives. We've got he's a new creation. That's nothing about new in time. It's new in class and order and genus and all those other words that I don't remember. But he's delivered us from the bondage, and the bondage has come only from your mind. Why it talks about take no thought, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, cast down the high places where the whore sits, so she hasn't a resting place. That's why the seventh angel, let him stand in you, so that the mystery of God is now complete. I see it totally. Time has been redeemed, for the days are evil. That's a big deal. Now, at the time of Christ, these four cups were their home, homebrew, it was temple brewed wine, and it was a lot stronger, I believe, the writings than ours is, because it was distilled more. Remember, it had to go through the seven lees. It was 10 ounces. Way back when, it was, everybody decided, because everybody was getting drunk and going to sleep, they decided it was going to be 3 ounces instead of 10, 90 milliliters. So, and for when you drink it, you should, when you drink the cup, you have to drink at least half of it. So you'll drink a minimum of 2 cups. So, let's go look at what we're... Anybody have any thoughts about any of that?
Well, the wine always symbolizes the bride, as we say. Same thing in these 4 cups in the process of you...
Well, it's getting... It's the when he takes you for a people, that's the marriage supper. So it's the 4th cup, and that's why Jesus said, I won't drink this 4th cup until I drink it with you in the kingdom of God.
So the first 3 cups had different symbolisms?
No, the first 3 cups were all about taking you out and getting rid of this so that you could drink the 4th cup in the kingdom. They're all about preparing for the bride. You have to come out of the world system. You have to come out of the bondage, much of which is self-imposed. The greatest accuser of you in the universe is you.
So these cups in process, they increase to the 4th cup, but there's something about the drinking that I'm not quite...
Well, that's why you drink them in order of the pagoda.
Right.
So that it—that's why you. There's a specific time when it says pour the wine, and then a specific time it says drink the wine. Mm-hmm. So the pouring of the wine is symbolizes that you are ready to comprehend and agree with what's being said.
Right. So that's a little different take, because I'd always seen the wine as a bride, period. But I'm hearing something different.
Yeah, because that's why we're studying this.
Yeah.
One is I will bring you out. 2 is deliver you from bondage. 3 is redeem, redemption, and that's salvation. 4 is take you for a people.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, we studied this a long time ago, but I haven't talked about it for a while. So, I mean, I talk about it in when I do a Seder, but anyhow. We're looking at what happened in Passover. And so where are we? And we studied the horror of great darkness which happened on Passover. Now let's go to Genesis 18. This is what we're going to read in Genesis 18. Both the visit from the angels and the destruction of Sodom both happened on Passover, but not the same one. It was a year later, okay? So chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, 3 men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be it fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. and I will fetch a morsel of bread, of matzah, and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, Ishmael, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. So that's the, remember when we, when everybody says the Feast of Passover, that's when that it rappeth the doors during the heat of the day on Passover. He gave bright angels a meal of matzah cakes on the Passover. He ran to the cattle as a hint of Joseph, the ox, who will bring about the Passover. And you shall say, Feast of Passover. Remember when we do that. All right, now, well, let's go ahead and read the next part of it. And they said unto him, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now notice, they go back and forth between the plural and the singular when the angels are talking. There's all kinds of great discussion about who these angels were. We could spend a lot of time discussing that, but I just think they were the three persons of the Godhead. Christ, but not Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. But that's just me. And that's just my understanding. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son, and Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have the pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of thy life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the three men arose from thence, and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. Yeah, let's go ahead and finish it. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare for the place of the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And the righteous should be as the wicked that he be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous men within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he's about to smack Abraham upside the head, I think. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Now, that is how the minion was defined, the 10. That's where this whole thing comes from. That's why the Seder has to have at least 10. That's why the seed falling into the ground and some bring forth some 30, some 60, and some 100 are all factors of 10. It's not about me. It's about us. Amen? All right, well, let's start with this next one, because we got the next one is the destruction of Sodom. And there came 2 angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entreated him into it, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Now, there is some discussion whether or not this was a year later or whether or not this was the same Passover that the 3 visited Abraham. It could have been, because they could have eaten another Seder, or they could have at least eaten unleavened cakes here. But anyway, there's a discussion about that. But before they laid down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have 2 daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hasten thou here, any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. The Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That's a good place to stop. We'll read about the destruction of Sodom and some of the stories from the Talmud about it came to pass on Passover. And you shall say,
Feast of Passover.
Feast of Passover. Okay? Any thoughts? Responses?
One with Sarah when she laughed. They made a big deal about it, and it seems appropriate that she would laugh like, that's ridiculous. And the laugh was like showing she had no faith in what this was about.
Amen.
And then I think of us individually, when we laugh, we hear things that are unbelievable, and we just laugh it off, when it's a matter of, do you believe or not?
Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Anyone else? Everybody ready for Passover? And you all know I am over there again. I do that every year, and I've done it enough. Take it, big guy. We should have done it Friday. Can you meet this morning? If not, wait, 30 or 9? Can we meet at 9?
Well, we have to try 9.
9? Okay.
3?
I don't
know.
I have a clue.
Is 9 okay with you?
I have a doctor's appointment, but I don't need to be there.
Okay. Miss Carolyn will tell you. All right, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Be there.